And Vav Amud Aleph, the second wide line, the Gemara quotes Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Amotzi Chametz Bebeiso, someone finds Chametz in his home on Yontif, is Bodi Chametz before Yontif, but his children, his little babies succeeded in hiding the Chametz so well, he didn't find it. So in the middle of Yontif, he finds the Chametz. So the Brisa, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, he quotes Rav. Not allowed to burn the Chametz on Yontif, Koifal of a Sakli, to make sure you don't forget and eat it. And then you burn the chametz on Mitzvah Yantav. After Havdali, you burn the chametz. So that's what we were discussing. Rashi over here and the Tosis in Ksuvah Dav Zayin is bothered with the Kasha, but we pasken mitoich. Since Havara is muta l'tzarech ha'chol nefesh for cooking purposes, so it should be muta l'tzarech ha'yam k'tzas, and the mitzvah is also tzarech ha'yam k'tzas. So to burn the chametz should be muta. That's the Kasha. Maybe there's a simple teretz. I didn't look in all the Rishonim. Maybe there's a simple teretz. Maybe there's a machloikas hatanoim where the imbiyo chametz ala b'sreifa hashbasasa b'chol dover. So if you hold rov harishonim hold that hashbasasa b'chol dover yochid v'rabim malachik kerabim, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like the chachamim. The rebalatesis is mesupik because of the stam mishnah at the end of Temura that divides all the Yisuri Hanu into two categories, Nisrafim and Igbarim, and the Mishnah says that Chometz but Pesach is Nisrafim. So it sounds like this halachic is not a Mishnah. Sounds like this Stam Mishnah is Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rainbow Chometz al Bisrafim. But if you hold Mikra Adin, if Rav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, if Rav holds Mikra Adin, the Din is like the Chachamim, the Hash B'Sasa B'Chol Dover. So you can flush it down the toilet. You can dispose of it in some other way. Mefarav v'zol erok, there won't be a malacha at all. It'll be an issa de rabbanan. We said we quoted the Rashi in the end of Maseches Beitza that the achronim is the stira. It'll be an issa de rabbanan not to create and not to destroy anything. Moilid is an issa de rabbanan to destroy anything. Kalkal and pturim, patra avalasa, to do a kilkal to destroy something is an issa de rabbanan. Not allowed to create or destroy anything with the rabbanan, but. This time there wouldn't be a heter. What's the tzorech? He wants the afket to burn it, to do a malacha. Let him not do a malacha. He can fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of tashbisu without a malacha. So there's he'll only be a violation of an isa derabban. So isn't it better to do an isa derabban than to do an isa deraisa? If he wants to burn it, he should wait till after yontav is over. I don't know. Anyway, that was the Gemara. So Tosfos has a comment there. They tell you, look in Masechet Shabbos and Perikira, Daf Mem Gimel, there's a machloikis in the Gemara, Leman di Omar. There is an opinion there that we don't paskin like I. There is an opinion that Enkli Nital El Letzorach Dover Anital. There is a din of Muktzeh, and then there's a din, Muktzeh is Eitzim Havana Yofel, something that's junk, that you don't really, has no Hishtamshis at all. We pointed out that on the first daf in Baba Kama, the Gemara says there are four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara in the middle of Masechet Shabbos and Perek Kol HaKelim, the Gemara seems to say that the din of Mamukza were patterned after that din deraisa of Kabbalah's Tumah. Whatever belongs to those four categories of the Mekelim Ochlam HaMashkim is not considered junk. It has Chashivas and it's Mekabel Tumah. Whatever doesn't belong to those four categories is considered junk, and that's considered muktzah. So the Chachamim prohibited tilta muktzah. That's one din. Tilta muktzah is awesome at the Rabban. Even according to Rashi, that achilas muktzah is an isa deraisa, muktzah l'achilas deraisa, a muktzah l'tiltal is beferish gemara, said it's only b'rabbanan, it's exera of hoitzor. They really wanted to prohibit handling anything on Shabbos in the house, exera that you may forget and carry it into the street. But that would make life impossible. You can't move a sefer, you can't move a table, you can't move a chair. So whatever is a dov sheyesh bo hishtamshus, that would make life too difficult. So they never prohibit it. But if the thing is a piece of junk anyway, you don't need it. So dov sheyesh bo hishtamshus, eitz ma'avon of yofa, it's muktz machmas gufo. So there they said, you're not allowed to handle it, gzeir shem yotzi. Then there's another issa of tiltal kelim. Let's say you have a hammer or a screwdriver or a pen or a pencil. So we are little children, so our parents told us you're not allowed to handle the hammer or the pen or the pencil because it's muktzah. It's not really accurate. It's not really muktzah. That's what we call a klisha malachta liyisr. Klisha malachta liyisr is a lesser iser. If you have money, money is considered junk. because money doesn't have any ishtamshus to it. You can take money and buy something with it, but money doesn't have ishtamshus like a cup, a fork, a knife, a suit. So you have ishtamshus money. You use money to buy as representative of it, but it doesn't really have any ishtamshus. So money is muktzah. So let's say there's money on the table, and tzorech lemkomo. You want to get the money off the table. You're not allowed to handle the money. You have to move it begufo. The Mishnah Berurah is mekel til tamuk. The Mishnah Berurah is mekel based on the Magen Avraham, based on Gemaras and Masechus Shabbos. Til tamuk the begufo is muta. The Chazon Ish has a big chumra over here. He doesn't accept this Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. He thinks even til tamuk the begufo is also. But Pashtus is til tamuk is also because of Gzeir Shem Yotzi. Normally people carry things with their hands. You can carry something in your pocket also, but normally people carry in their hands. So when you talk about tilta muktzah, so the only prohibited the gufo, let's say a person, a lot of times a person kicks a ball in the street. You're playing ball, you kick a ball or something. So you do carry things in the street with your feet, but to be metalta muktzah beraglayim is we assume is muta only also be adayim. And even the back of the hand, the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush. If you're going to be metalta muktzah like this, with the back of the hand, not the normal way you hold like this, but with the back of the hand, kalach hayad, literally, the back of the hand. So the Mishnah Berurah also says, maybe that's like tilk the muktzah begufa, b'shar gufa, that should be mutam. A chiddush, even though it is b'yadayim, but it's the back of his hand. So there's, in addition to the yisr, tilk the muktzah, there's also an yisr of tiltal kalim. The yisr tiltal kalim applies to klisha malachta leheter, anti-klisha malachta le'isa. Klisha malachta le'heter, you have three heterim. You can move it, let's say there's a table or a chair. So you're permitted to move a table or the chair, letzorach gufo, or letzorach mekomo, or mechama le'tzel. Let's say mechama le'tzel means it's going to get ruined. If you're going to leave it to where it is, let's say the table or the chair is on the front lawn and it's raining now, so it's going to get ruined. A wooden chair is going to get ruined in the rain. And I have an Erev, I can carry from my front lawn to the house. I want to take the wooden chair into the house on Shabbos. There's no malacha. So is that permissible? So the din is yes. Mechama letzel. If the klisha malachta leheter is bechama and it's going to get ruined because of the sun shining on it, then you're permitted to move it. Mechama letzel. But if it's a screwdriver or a hammer, or a pen or a pencil, klisha malachta liyisr, then you don't have that heter of mechama letzel. You only have two heterim, letzorach gufo or letzorach mekomo. What's an example? Letzorach gufo, so the Mishnah has, let's say, I have nuts, a tough nut to crack. So you take a hammer and you bang the nut. See, if you can get the nut out without using the hammer, you should try to avoid it. If you can get the nut out by using klisha malachta liyisr, you should do that. But you have no choice. The only way to get the nut out, or let's say sometimes a pickle jar is very screwed tight, very tightly. So the only way to open it up is to bang a little bit with the hammer on the sides, or to bang with the handle of the screwdriver. So to use a klisha malachta liyisr letzorach gufo, I'm going to use it. To use the hammer to bang a nail, that's a malacha. But to use the hammer to crack open a nut, or the Mishnah gives that example, to crack open a nut, or you use the hammer to unloosen the lid on a jar, it's too tightly closed, that's tiltal klisha malachta le'iser, letzorach gufo is mut, or letzorach mekomo. He left on Erev Shabbos, he didn't set the table, so he has so if he has money all over the table, he can't move the money with his hand. Money is muktzah mamish, he's not allowed to move it, even the tzorach gufo, the tzorach mekomo. But if he doesn't have money, he left pens or pencils or screwdrivers, and he wants to get it out of the way to be able to put plates on the table. Or let's say there's one room where he always has, all week long, he uses it for muktzah. Then all of a sudden on Shabbos, guests come and he has to use that room. The dining room he sets up for Shabbos. The other room he didn't think he was going to use it on Shabbos. Now he wants to take off all the pens and the pencils and all the, not really muktzah, he wants to take off the kli, the kelim shemalachta le'isr, so kli shemalachta le'isr, you only have a heter to move it, letzorach gufa, letzorach mekomo, but not mechama letzel. So here there's a machloikus in the Gemara, we don't accept this opinion, that's why Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos on Vavam and Alam says, l'man d'yoma, there was an opinion in the Gemara that's not accepted. There is a din in the Gemara, mevatal kli mehechonai. Let's say, a beitzah shenolda biyontif, the Gemara said, the first Mishnah beitzah says that it's muktzah. You're not allowed to eat it, muktzah letiltol. You're not allowed to handle it either. So let's say I have an egg farm, and the hens are going to lay eggs every day, and I'm afraid that the hens are going to jump on the egg after they lay the eggs. They're going to jump on and crack it open. So I want to put when you have an egg farm, I think the floors are crooked, so that on a tilt, not crooked. The floors, each hen has a different room, and the floor is on a tilt, so the eggs will roll down. So there's a concern the eggs are going to roll down. They may crack open, get ruined. So that's why they have a lot of straw there. They have a lot of fluff. That fluffy stuff, so the eggs won't break when they roll. So how do I know? Because the NCSY Koilo, the last 20 years or so, is always on an egg farm and Beit Meir. So there's a religious balabas, a Daf Yomi man, learned fellow. He has an egg farm. So we used to be the next door neighbor of this egg farm. The hens would wake us up every morning. They would be making noise. So if you bait us in all the Shabbos of Yantav is Mukta, so if you put something in a location where you know the bait is going to fall on it, that's you're making that into a basis ledavah ha'asa. Not only is Mukta have a din of Mukta, you're not allowed to be metaltalit. If you have a basis ledavah ha'asa, also you're not allowed to be metaltalit. So if the bait is in all the Shabbos is going to land on a plate, that plate is going to be mukta kozman that the egg is on. The plate is mukta. If the egg was on a ben hashmashes, that'll be mukta migudis katzoy the ben hashmashes. It's katzoy the kul yom. If the beitzer was not on it on ben hashmashes, but kozman that the beitzer will be on it, they will have the status of mukta. After the beitzer will roll off or be removed somehow, so then it'll no longer be mukta. But kozman the beitzer is on it has a din of mukta. So the Gemara said that's a din of mavatal kli mechana. You're not permitted, let's say you have there's a Mishnah. I have candles are burning and the wax is dripping down. So because the flame is on top of the wax candle, so the flame is muktzah because the flame is a dov shein bo hishtamshus. On Yontav, the flame is not muktzah because on Yontav I can light another flame from this flame. On Shabbos, I can use the light that comes, that emanates from the flame. I can put my hands there to warm my hands. I can read a book. I can read a sefer, la'or aner. Sometimes ain't karam la'or aner. Okay. But one is able to read la'or aner. You can get hishtamshus from the light. But you can't use hishtamshus, the flame itself, on Shabbos. Only on Yontav you can use the flame to light another flame from it. So on Shabbos, the flame is considered mukta. It's a dov shein bo hishtamshus. Hishtamshus means something that you handle and you use it. If the Magen Avraham says if you have photographs hanging on the wall, so if your practice is that you sometimes take it down, you show the guests, and then you hang it back up, so it's a dov shein bo hishtamshus. If you have a clock on the wall, you never take it down unless the battery conked out and you have to replace it. But it doesn't have any hishtamshus. You never handle it. Hishtamshus is you look at it, or you have photographs on the wall or paintings on the wall. You never handle them. Just sit there. So the Magen Avraham says that that's considered mukta based on a Gemara Masechus Shabbos. Very strange what Moshe Feinstein has in one of the later volumes of the Igros Moshe. They have short tshuvas. Moshe used to write long tshuvas and prove from the Gemaras that he's right. And the last couple of years of his life, he wasn't that well. So he has a very short tshuva. So he has about someone asked him, what about paintings on the wall? He said, why should it be mukta? He doesn't see why. But that's when you learn the Gemara. That seems to be the ABC in the Gemara. That anything that you have anor from looking at it, but you don't handle it. The hishtamshus is not by handling it. So that's considered a dov shein bo hishtamshus. That's considered like a piece of junk. Money you do handle, but you don't use the money itself. You use the money to buy something else. So that's why we assume that money is a dov shein bo hishtamshus. You handle, but you don't use the money. So the Gemara says the wax in the candle is a basis. Hanach lener shemet apsila. The Gemara says the wick, the oil, and the container that holds the ner is the container that has the oil. The shemen is the oil, and the psila is the wick. So all three, hanach lener shemet apsila, leave alone those three things. They're all buses to the flame, and the flame on Shabbos is muktzah. The flame is not muktzah. You're allowed to carry candles on Yom Tov, because the flame itself, if you want to, you can light another candle from it. But on Shabbos, you can't use the flame itself. You can use the light that emanates from the flame, but you can't use the flame. So the flame is the flame is a davar she'ein bo hishtamshus. So it's mukta. So the ner shem and a psila, that's a gemara in Perikira. Ner shem and a psila buses a davar hasa. So let's say your candles are on the table. Either you light with wax candles or you light with oil, whatever. And the oil or the wax is dripping on the tablecloth, is going to stain the tablecloth. So the person puts a paper plate or he puts a regular plate underneath the wax right next to the candle, so that when it drips down, it should drip on the plate. It shouldn't drip on the tablecloth. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. You're not, because that's mevatel kli mehechanai. You're turning the plate into a basis davar ha'aser. Now you can't handle a plate. And what's the big aver if you mevatel kli mehechana? So the plate will be muktzah basis. So that's the question. What's wrong? Tosis points out, Tosis and Shabbos, a little Tosis points out that there are two different pirushim that Rashi has in two different places in the Masechta. Masechta is very big. Masechta Shabbos has over 150 blat gemara. It goes on and on and on. So Rashi in two different places has different pshat. In one place, Rashi says that it's bona, as if you nail the plate down to this location because you can't move it now because it's mukta. In the other place, Rashi, I said, it's soser. You used to have a plate that had a shtamshus, and now the plate, he broke the plate. He can't use it because just made it into mukta, so he can't handle it. But it's some kind of it's a malachim in the Rabbanan. It's a malachim in the Rabbanan. It's not a gzera. The prohibitions in the Rabbanan on Shabbos, there's a malacha deraisa. And then all the prohibitions in the Rabbanan, they're all gzera, but some of them were instituted with Torah's gzera. Some of them were instituted, but Torah's malocha midirabbanan. So mevatel kli mehechanai. Let's say tiltel mukta is a gzera shema yotzi. That's a gzera. But mevatel kli mehechanai. Rashi understands that that's not a gzera. That's a malocha. Either malocha bona kila mechabro sham, as if he attached it to that location, or malach of soser, that the plate no longer has the hishtamshes of a plate, you can't handle it. So that we know is not allowed. That's a Mishnah. You're not allowed to put the plate next to the candle so that the oil or the wax will drip on the plate. Mavatal kalim echan, and the shadows like this. The hens laid an egg, and I'm afraid they're going to jump on the eggs and they're going to smash it. So I take a glass or a cup, a pot, and I invert the pot on top of the egg, so no one can smash it. I'm protecting the egg. So I'm handling, I didn't make the kli into a buses, double also buses if you put it on the bottom. Here I put it on the top. But I put it in order to protect the egg, which is mukta. So there's one opinion anymore that is not accepted, la locha, and kli nital, elitzorch dover hanital. You're not allowed to handle a kli to take it to cover over the beitz of shenol de biyanta, but to cover something, let's say to cover over money. There's money on the table on Shabbos, and I'm afraid people are coming. Nochem are coming, they want to steal my money. So I want to put the challah tray on top of the money so no one will see that there's $1,000 bill there. No one's going to walk away with my money. So this opinion in the Gemara holds, you're not allowed to. We pass on that it is mutter. What's wrong? Why should it be usher? Why should it be a problem? So Rebbe Kiveiga there in the Gilyan Ashas points out on Mem Gimel Amid Beis. This Gemara is Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, goes over to Mem Gimel Amid Beis in Masech Shabbos Perikira. So Rebbe Kiveiga there points out in the Gilyan Ashas on Mem Gimel Amid Beis that there's a bit of a contradiction, a major contradiction between two Pirushi Rashi. Rashi's Pirush there in Shabbos Mem Gimel, as opposed to what Rashi writes in Beitza, Daf Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, or something like that. Truth of the matter is, it's not Rashi's fault. Rabbi Kivega points out a contradiction at Rashi, and there's a Balamor who quotes a Rashi. This is the Rashi that is quoting. The Balamor doesn't say where the Rashi, this is the Rashi in Perikir. Truth of the matter is not that it's a steer in Rashi. From the Gemara itself, you see that there are two different understandings. Why the Shita that was rejected, that was not accepted, Enkli Nital, El Zorch Tavah Nital, two different explanations. So one Rashi, each Rashi on the Perek Kira, he gives the Pshat in the Gemara based on the way the Sugya goes in Kira. And in Beitza, he gives the Pshat based on what it says in Beitza. There's a contradiction in the Gemara. Two different understandings. Why was there an opinion that it's us? So one opinion was that just like there's a din of buses of davar hasa, if you put the plate underneath the beitzush and all the b'shabbos, you make it into a buses. Why? Because it's meshamish the beitzah. It's protecting the beitzah shouldn't crack when it falls. Or I'm going to put a cash register and I'm going to put the money in the cash register. So the cash register is to hold money. So it's meshamish the money. So the same over here, this one opinion holds, if you take a kli shemalachta leheter, I have a pot. Let's say a kli shemalachta leheter, and I invert it and I carry it in order to cover over a beitza, shenol de b'shabes, a beitza shenol de b'yantif. Since it's mishamish the beitza, just like a bus is a davar ha'aser, has the din of mukta, so if it's a bus is on top, it's the cover to protect the beitza, it also becomes like a buses. Just like if it's buttle, if it's tuffle to the baits on the bottom, it becomes muktzah. It says tuffle. If it's mishamish, the baits on top of it also becomes muktzah. It comes out as you're carrying the kli, it turns into muktzah. Before you come to cover over the baitsa, the kli that you're carrying is going to be tuffle to the baitsa. So you're handling muktzah. That's a one shot. And then the other sugya, the other Rashi, and the other Mesichta learns differently. There's not midin muktzah. No, bus is davaros is only if it's on the bottom. But there's a din of tiltil kelim. Not only did the Chachamim prohibit tiltil muktzah, achilas muktzah is one din. The Rashi holds as an isa, their isa, based on the pasuk by the man. It says behechinu isa sheyaviu muktzah and muchan are opposites. When something is muktzah, means it didn't have hachana. If it had hachana b'bal yom, then it's not going to be muktzah. So the Torah says, "Ve'echinu eso she'yaviu." If they don't collect the man, the man is going to melt away. V'chama shemish v'nomis, it's going to be junk. So you have to be mechin the man in advance. So Rashi learns on that pasuk, "Ve'echinu eso she'yaviu." The Gemara says it, but the Gemara seems to assume that it's only an asmachta. So Rashi holds it's not an asmachta. Rashi holds halacha that muktzah lachila is an isa deraisa. What the Gemara said in Psochem on Mem Zayin, Gemara comes to the conclusion that muktzah is lav deraisa. That's muktzah letaltel. You're not allowed to handle muktzah. That's exera shemayotzi. That's exera derabbanan. But muktzah lachila, you're not allowed to eat food or use kelim that were not hucha mebod yom. Rashi holds that that's a din deraisa, and the others hold not so. So muktzah is one din. Then there's another din of tiltel kelim. It could well be that that was nigzer at a later time. The Gemara says that when there's a Gemara in Bamei Matlikin, the Gemara says that David HaMelech died on Shabbos and his body was mutal b'chama. And Shlomo HaMelech, his son, went to ask the Chachamim, is he permitted to move the body? Mechama, let's say a dead body is muktzah. The four things are the mekelim, ochlam, and mashkim, are not muktzah. Adam is not muktzah if the person is alive. Once the person is dead, it's a piece of junk. It's a piece of junk, has no hishtamshus. A dead body is not mekabel tumah. It gives tumah, avi avoisa tumah. But it's not a dabar choshev that's mekabel ani tumah. So a mace is considered muktzah mamish. So you're not allowed to move a mace, mechama letzit. So David HaMelech, Shlem HaMelech, asked the Chacham, what can he do? His father is mutah b'chama. So they said, put a kikaretinak on top of the mace, and then you're allowed to move the mace. Special heter, lahitiru kikaretinak elul mace bilvad. If you have $1,000 bill on the table and you want to move it, there's no heter to put the kikaretinak and then to carry the $1,000 bill. Special kula only by mace. Where'd they get it from? Kikaretinak. You got to learn all the gemaras to see kikaretinak exists in other areas of muktzah. Over here, it's only by mace and by others not. But in other areas, it does exist. So, the Gemara says, already when David HaMelech died, there was a din of Tiltum Muktzah. Then the Gemara says, B'mei Nechemya ben Chakalya, Nishnas Mishnah Zu, the Mishnah, the beginning of Kol HaKelim, that a Klisha Malachta Le'Yisr, and a Klisha Malachta Le'Heta, you're not allowed to move it, Shalom, the Tzorach Klal, only the Tzorach Gufa, the Tzorach Mekoma, if it's Klisha Malachta Le'Heta, there's no third Heta, to move it, the Tzorach Mechama Le'Tzel, to protect it, Mechama Le'Tzel. So the Gemara says that Isser of Tiltul Kelim was introduced by Nechemya ben Chakalya. Nechemya ben Chakalya was the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. David HaMelech was before the Bayis Rishon period. David HaMelech died before the Bayis Rishon was built. There's a gap of a few hundred years in between. So the Netziv poses the problem. What do you mean? that the Yisra of Tilta Kelim was only introduced in the beginning of our Yisheni period, because Nechemya saw that there was so much Chilul Shabbos. It says in Tanakh, there was so much Chilul Shabbos, so he had to make a Gzeris in order to get the people to be more observant. But it already existed from the days of David HaMelech. So it could well be that this is, the Netziv doesn't say this. It could well be that this perhaps is the answer, that B'imei Nechemya ben Chakalia, they added the Yisra of Tilta Kelim. In the days of David HaMelech, when David HaMelech died, there was an Yisra Muktzah. Muktzah means it doesn't belong to the four categories. Adam Mekelim, Ochlem, and Mashkim, junk. Eitzim, Avon, and Yochah. Dead bodies, that's junk. So junk is an Yisra Tiltal Muktzah. But Yisra Tiltal Kelim, that you're not allowed to move a pen or a pencil, a screwdriver or a hammer, something like that. Why? That's a Kli that has a Shtamshis, it's Mekabal Tumah. So that's an additional Yisra of Tiltal Kelim. So that was Nechem ben Chakali. So again, so the one sugya, there's a contradiction. Rabbi Kiveger and Shabbos Mem Gimel Amad Beis points out there seems to be a contradiction between the two Perushe Rashi, Pirush Rashi, and Shabbos Mem Gimel and Pirush Rashi and Beitza around Daf Lamed Zayin. So I pointed out, truth of the matter is not really Rashi's fault. The Gemara, there's a contradiction between the way the Gemara presents the din. And one Masech, the Gemara presents it, that it's an Issa Muktzah. They're just like buses, if the plate is on the bottom and the Muktzah is on top of it. So the plate becomes a buses, so that also becomes Muktzah. So if you take a Kli Shalheter, you take a Kli Shalheter and you cover over a Beit Shalheter, you cover up a dollar bill or something, so the Kli Shalheter is Meshamish, the Muktzah, even though it's on top, not on the bottom. It's also like a Dinah buses. It's Bata Lagabi, the Muktzah becomes Muktzah. The other sugya, Rashi learns differently because the sugya is muchach. That is not an iser of muktzah. No, basis is only when the basis is on the bottom of the muktzah. When it's on the top to cover it, it's not a din basis. But it's an iser of tiltal kelim. There's an iser of tiltal kelim even on a klisha malachta leheter. The Gemara says in the Beis Hamikdash, every Friday, the lechem aponim was piled up, six in each, there are two piles, Sheish HaMarachis. There were 12 Lechem Aponims, and there were two piles on the Shulchan. Each pile had six. So all week long, the Lechem Aponim was on five different shelves. The first Lechem Aponim was on the Shulchan. The other five were on top. And they weren't sitting on top of each other in order that they shouldn't get spoiled. It's healthier to keep it fresher. A miracle used to happen in the Bais Rishon period that everything was still lechem cham ki yom hi lokhoi, that it was still warm a week later. Usually, if you leave bread out of the freezer for a couple of days, it gets hard like a rock. It gets spoiled. And the lechem aponim was fresh at the end of the week. That was a miracle. Lechem cham ki yom hi lokhoi, like the day you took it out of the oven. But still, you have to try to do b'derech hateva, whatever you can. So they had shelves that they had, the five lechem aponims on top of each other. The bottom one was on the shulchan, the top ones were on shelves. And in order, every Friday they would bake the lechem aponim, unless Friday would be yontiv, so you're not allowed to bake on yontiv for tomorrow. So then they would bake it on Thursday, or if it's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday, then they would bake it on Wednesday. They used to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, sometimes even in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what you see from the Mishnah. So they didn't, you're not allowed to bake the lechem aponim on Yontif. You're not allowed to bake it on Shabbos either. That's for sure, you're not allowed to bake it. So normally they baked the lechem aponim every Friday, and then they took, on Shabbos morning, they took off the old lechem aponim and they put on the new lechem aponim. And Ksos HaNosach, the shelves, were made in such a way that you couldn't just take out the lechem aponim from last week and put in the new ones. You had to handle the whole thing. So every Friday they would take apart all of the shelves and they would have the lechem aponim Friday late in the afternoon before there would be Mekabel Shabbos. They would have the six lechem aponim sitting on top of each other. The Gemara says, we don't want to do that because it may cause spoilage on the bottom one. So the Gemara says, Nishke Felach, I'm taking it off. What time is Shabbos this week? Mekabel Shabbos at 5:30 or so. So 5:30, you're going to take off the lechem aponim from the shelves. Then tomorrow morning, at the crack of dawn, they're going to put on the new lechem aponim. So it's not going to be sitting on top of each other for so long. What time is Alos HaShachar? The sun rises now around 7:15. So Alos HaShachar is an hour before 6:15, 6 o'clock. So it's going to be from 5:30 in late in the afternoon on Friday till 6:15 in the morning on Shabbos morning. We're going to switch it. So the Gemara says in the 12 hours, it's not going to get spoiled. Then they put the new lechem upon him sitting on top of each other from 6:30 in the morning till late at night, till Tzeis HaKochem. So also the Gemara says it's not going to get spoiled. So but it's a klisha malach de leheta. If you have a bread box and you open up the bread box in order to take out the bread, so what's so bad about that? So the Gemara says, Klisha malach talaheter, you're permitted to handle it, tzorach gufa, even Klisha malach talaheter, you're permitted to handle it, tzorach gufa, tzorach makama, if it's really a legitimate tzorach. So the Gemara, even though we have a klal, en shvuz b'migdosh, usually when one makes zeris the rabbanon, if you're in the base hamigdosh and you're busy doing hakrovas hakrabonis, you're not going to give the kohanim a hard time and introduce chumris from the rabbanon. Even if chumris existed in other areas, we're mekel in the Beis Hamikdash with the tzorach hakrabas hakrabanas. And here they were machmer. Even Tosis points out, even though usually in shvus b'migdash, we don't have to observe shvusim when it comes to hakrabas hakrabanas. Here by the lechem upon him, it's not so terrible if you won't use the bread box, if you won't use the shelves with the snifim. So on Erev Shabbos, they took all the, right before Kabbalah Shabbos, they would take all the lechem upon him out, and they'll be sitting on top of each other. The Shabbos morning, they would switch, but the new lechem upon him, they wouldn't put it into the shelves until Shabbos was over, because it's letzorach gufo, it's tiltal klisha malach de leheter. That bread box is not like a screwdriver or a hammer, a pen or a pencil. That's klisha malach de leheter. It's a klisha malach de leheter, but it's only mutal letzorach. So if it's a real legitimate tzorach, if it's not a tzorach, you're not allowed to. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that a lot of times people sit, when you're sitting by the table on Shabbos, and you're carrying on a conversation, so you're fidgeting sometimes, so people will take their glass and start twirling the glass, just out of nerves. They have nothing else to do. Or they'll take the spoon and the fork, and they'll fidget around with folks. So he said, you're not allowed to. It's a klisha malach de leheter, and you're handling it shelo letzorach kal. There's no tzorach at all. So he held that it's not allowed. The Mishnah Brura apparently noticed that people do this. It's a common practice. He quotes a sefer, a rare sefer. He hardly ever quotes a Teferis Yerushalayim, I think. He quotes a sefer that the din that you're not allowed to handle klisha malachta leheter shelo letzorach klal, that's only a table, a chair, something like that, the bread box. But the kelim ketanim on the table, the forks and the knives and the glasses and the plates, he thinks that they never made any gzeiros at all. Based on gemaras, he thinks like that. So he quotes such a kula. But Rav Soloveitchik wasn't, he never mentioned that kula. He thought that it's asa. He thought that it's asa to fidget and just to fool around with the glass on the table, with the knife and the fork and the spoon and so on. You're not allowed to handle a klisha malachta leheter. So that's what the Gemara says. In the Beis HaMikdosh, the snifim, the shelves that they had for the lechem aponim, you couldn't take out the old lechem aponim and put in the new one without handling the shelves. It wasn't just like taking out a sefer from a bookcase and putting it back. You had to handle the shelves. And the Gemara considers that shelo letzarach klal. And even though it's in Beis HaMikdosh, even though usually en shvus b'migdosh, this shvus they did introduce. So getting back over here, that's the other sugya in Beitza understands this opinion. We don't pass like this opinion. This opinion, enkli nita l'tzorch davar nita, you're not allowed to handle a kli in order to hide or to protect the $1,000 bill that no one should steal it, or to protect the Beitza, no one to the hen shouldn't jump on it. It's not an isa mukta. It's not that. Just like buses on the bottom is bottled to the beitza, so the buses on top is also bottled, the thing that covers it. No, it doesn't become mukta. It's an isa tiltal kalim. The kleed, the container, let's say you have a plastic container and you want to cover over something that's mukta. So that's not an acceptable hishtamshus. You're permitted to handle klisha malach dalaheta, letzorach gufa, letzorach mekomo. So Akuf has to be, I'm going to use this for something. But if I'm going to use this to protect the Dovashal Mukhtze, that's not a legitimate tzorach. So you're not allowed to do that. That's the pshat. Anyway, whatever it is, the both pshatim are not accepted. We paskin halacha that kli is nital, even tzarech tov sheina nital. To protect the $1,000 bill, it is mutter to cover it over with a challah tray. Anyway, but Tosfos asked the kasha, how can there have been such an opinion? Doesn't Rav over here, isn't Rav disagreeing? Rav is an amira. Okay, they have a right to disagree, but that's what Tosfos says. Does this contradict that opinion? So some of the Rishonim explain, no. Why is he covering over the chametz? To protect the chametz? Was he interested? He found Motzei chametz b'toch beiso, the yontif. He's interested in protecting the chametz. No, he wants to protect himself. He's afraid he's going to forget and eat the chametz. So he wants to protect himself. So it's not that the kli that you put on top of the cookie. I found a box of cookies that the babies hid under the pillow on the couch. So not that I'm interested in protecting the cookies. If the cookies disappear, I'd be happier. I want to protect myself that I shouldn't forget and eat the cookies on Yom Tov. So that's Letzarech Tov Ramuta. That's not Letzarech. I'm not interested in protecting the cookies in order to fulfill the mitzvah after Havdolah of destroying the chametz. No, I want to protect myself that I shouldn't forget to eat it. That's how the Rishonim answer the kasha. Okay. But it's good to know what the topic is. The topic of even though we don't pass like that. That's a machlokes in the Gemara and Shabbos and the Beitza. The inkli nito Letzarech Tov Ramuta. Then we learned the Gemara. You have to be the Gemara continues on Vov on the days. Habayik tzarch sheivatl. You have to be mivatl chametz right after you finish the bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says, what's the rush to be mivatl chametz? Why can't it be mivatl chametz? And erev Pesach before he davens mincha. And erev Pesach will be mivatl chametz. The Gemara says no. If you wait till after chatzos, the chametz is also ba'hanoa tashbisu. An Isar Esei, after Chatzai, it says, Man of the Isar Esei, Asa Bachila, Asa Bahanoa, Asa Lekaimo, at least an Isar Esei, okay? So, since it's Asa Bahanoa, the Gemara quotes, Shnei Dvar Meinim Meshusa Shalodam, Vasan HaKasu Kilehim Meshusa Chomitz Misheshos, Bar Meshusa Rabim, he dig a bar in the middle of the street. So that's one of the Arba Ovis and Zik and Shor Bar Mab and Hever. He dig a bar and then it says, Bala Bar Yishalem. He's the Bala Bar. How is he the Bala Bar? It's the middle of the street. The bar belongs to the Rishus Aram. The answer is, the one who does Kiyiftach Ishbar or Kiyichri Ishbar, the one Ala Kriya Huchayb Ala Psichu Huchayb, if he does the Kriyas Habar, he did Asiyas Habar either by Kriya or by Psicha, he's considered Al-Pidin as the Balabar. Even on Dina Mamanis, it doesn't belong to him. He's considered Balabar, and the Torah holds him responsible. Balabar Yushalayim, like if it's my shore, and it makes a hezek, if the shore belongs to me, I'm the Balashor. Or let's say, Abba Nichnasu Tachas Habaylim, is a Gemara in Bava Kama, the Dalad Shomrim. Shamachinim Ashol Nasisach HaVasercha, they're a Dalad Shomrim. So if I give my shore to a Shomer, he's supposed to watch it. He's accepting to either be a shem, one of the four dollar shemrim. So if the show will make a hezi, he'll be chayv. The show doesn't belong to him. The answer is no. He's considered the bala shor because it's his responsibility. Because it's his responsibility to watch that it shouldn't make a hezek. That's but he took it away from the bailim. And he committed himself to watch it. So he's called the Bala Shor. So here, if you dig a bar, you're called the Bala Bar. Asiyas HaMazik. Or let's say someone else has a fire, and someone was making a barbecue. And I take some of the logs from the barbecue, and I burn someone else's farm. So you're going to say the Bal HaEsh is chayef to pay Isha Mishum Amono. Isha Mishum Amono, it's Maman HaMazik, who? So the owner of the fire. So Taisa says, that's where Rashi sounds like he holds. Isha Mishum Amono, and Bava Kam says, you're only chayv if you're the owner of the fire. If I take someone else's fire, I'm not chayv. So Taisa says, what are you talking about? That's also Isha Mishum Amono. If I take it, I'm the one who's responsible. Like the Abba Nichnasu Tachas Abadim, if I'm a Shemer and someone else is shor, and the shor makes a hezek. I'm the bala shor with respect to hezekim. It's understood that it's my responsibility to watch that the shor doesn't make a hezek. So here also, if I take your eish and I make a hezek, it's my responsibility. I'm called the bala eish. Fine. So this, the Gemara quotes, shnei dvarim eina b'shusa shalodim. The bar b'shusa rabim means it's eina shalom. Not only eina b'shusa, eina shalom. And the other one is chametz mishay shosa. Malu chametz is also b'hano. So it's eina b'shusa shalodim. What does it mean, eina b'shusa? So the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samachtez, quotes a machlekes hatanoim from a Mishneh Maseches Maisu Sheni. And it's a machlekes hamarayim, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lokech, which Tana is opinion to accept la halacha. In order to be a full Bailam, you have to have shalom. This is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, based on the Mishnah. And Rish Lokech passing like the other Tana. That's very unusual. Usually hamarayim don't argue. The Gemara says, Leime kitanoim. Should I say that they're arguing the same machlekes of the Tanoim? So what do you need the hamarayim for? The Tanoim already discussed it. Usually we avoid that. But here the Gemara says it is correct. The machlekes of Yechon Rish Lokesh simply is that we pass like one Tana, like the other Tana. What's the machlekes? In order to be magdish something, ish ki agdish is basic kodesh. You can only be magdish your own house. I can't donate your house to agdish. I can't give a charity from something that doesn't belong to me. If it's mine, I have the right to be magdish. I have a right to sell it. I have a right to give it to matana. I have a right to be mafkir it. I have a right to be paid in my shesheni. If the my shesheni grew on my farm, I'm the owner of the my shesheni. I can be paid there. If I'm paid there, I have to be Moisev Chomish. And no one else can be paid in my shesheni without my authorization, because I'm the bailiff. So the Gemara has this machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes of Yechon Rish Lokesh added paskin. Rabbi Yechon, it says, you're only considered a full bailiff if it's shaloi u b'shusa. If they stole my car and I don't know where it is, then it's ain't a bishusi. It's shali, but it's ain't a bishusi. As soon as they call me up and they tell me, years ago they stole our car. So we didn't know where it was. So then someone called us up on the phone. They told us that it's in the parking lot behind the church, next to Breuer's Base Medrash, down the block, a few blocks away from where we live. So once we know where it is, then it's shali a bishusi. Okay. Even though the parking lot belongs to the church, it doesn't belong to me. But as long as I know it's mine, anything that shali is automatically bishusi, unless it's stolen and I don't have access to it. But once I know where it is, I have access. I have the keys. I have access. So I can go get my car. So even if the car is parked in the street, it's shali a bishusi. It doesn't have to be parked in my garage to be considered bishusi in my garage. If it's parked in the street, it's also shali a bishusi. If it's stolen and I don't know where it is, then it's shali vein a bishusi. So we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. Someone stole my behemoth. So it's no law. I don't know where it is. I don't have access to it. So my behemoth is shali, but it's not bishusi. The ganav can't be magdish to behemoth. It's ainu shaloi. It's a dover poshut. And the nignav can't be magdish to behemoth because it's ainu bishusi. He's not a full bailam. To be considered a full bailam, you have to have shaloi ubirshusi. So this is a big question. When you say that isuri hanor shnei dvarim ena b'shusa shalodim bar b'shusa rabim, bar b'shusa rabim is ena shali, not just ena b'shusi. So why does Rav Loza, why does that moira on the bottom of Avraham and Beis, why does it say the loshen shnei dvarim ena b'shusa shalodim? So it should have said shnei dvarim ena shalai. So the Ktzais HaChoshen and Choshen Mishpat thinks that the reason why he says ena b'shusa is because chametz is shali. The chametz belongs to me, but because it's also manor, so memela have no access to it. If they stole my car, I don't know where it is, then it's any bishusi, I have no access. If they didn't steal a car, I have chametz on the table, on our Pesach in the afternoon, the Torah prohibits me from using it. So because it's also, if you have something, also bachil mut manor, I have ishtamshus, I can feed it to the animals, I can sell it to a goy. So if the goy can eat it, it's mut manor, so I can sell it. But if you have something that's also b'achila, also b'anoa, and the owner of the item is Jewish, so he's not allowed to use it. Not that he doesn't have access because it's stolen, he doesn't know where it is. Doesn't have access because the halacha doesn't allow him to use it. So whatever, you don't have access, that's shalom, but it's ainu b'shusa. So that's what the Ktzais thinks. That the reason why Rabbi Loza quotes, uses this lashon, shnei dvarim ainu b'shusa shalom, because one of them is ainu shalom, Bar b'shusa rabim is literally ainu shalom, but nonetheless, He's called the balabor for nezikin purposes. He's held responsible. Like if you own a shore, and the shore makes a hezik, so you have to pay. So here you don't own the bor, but the Torah declares you as the balabor because of asiyas hamazik. And the other one is shnei dvar menim shusah. It's not Dana Shaloi, it is Shaloi, but it's Aina Bishusa. It's Aina Bishusa. Others disagree with the Gzois. It's a big machloikus in the Rishonim, in the Dorim. The Ran and the Dorim talks about it, whether Yisuri Hano Arena Shaloi or Yisuri Hano Arena Bishusa. But it's either one or the other. That's what he says. Shnei Dvar Mena Bishusa Shalom. There is a Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara says. Something that's eino shaloi or eino bishusai, whatever, you're not a full bailaman. So you don't have the ability to be magdashit. Ishki agdash is beso. The vav habailus means it has to be my house. I can't be magdash. Ain't on a magdash dovish eino shaloi. Ishki agdash is beso. A beso shaloi. Then my beso bishusai, because we pass can karka ein and exelus. So the karka, even if I don't have access to it, because the ganav is living on my karka and I can't kick him off of the karka, but it doesn't become mein b'shusay, because the one who steals karka, there's a machlokes hatanaim in the end of Bava Kamma. A ganav who steals something always gets what we call a kinyan geneva on the item. And a karka, there's an iser if you steal karka, an iser lo sigzon, al pi pashtus. But there's a machlokes hablaze and a chachamim in the Mishnah all the way at the end of Bava Kamma, where the karka and exelus or karka in and exelus means does the gazlan acquire a kinyan gzela on the karka? We paskin no. We paskin against Reb Leizer. Karka in and exelus. So even if the karka is stolen and someone else is living on the karka is still considered shali or bishu si. The only time the gzela is ain't a bishu si if it's metaltalim. Because metaltalim, the ganav gets a kinyan gzela, and because he stole it, I don't have access to it. But if he stole karka, even though I don't have access to it, he's a gangster with a gun. I can't fight with him, and the government doesn't want to fight with him either. So then it's still bishusi. Karka in and exelus is still bishusi. So we say, not only a dover, ishki agdish is beso, ma beso shalo, av kol shalo, he can't be magdish, and he can't be moicher, and also ma besa bishusai. How do you know besa bishusai? Because karka in and gzelus, so the karka is always going to be bishusai. So you have to have shaloi bishusai to be magdish, and to be moicher, and to be mafkir, and to be poidem aisusheni, and to be mevat lachomets. If I have chomets, that's shali ve'ena bishusai, because it's after sheish ha'osalamaylo. Even if it is Shali, the Ktzais claims Yisir HaNoa Arshala is just that it's Eina B'shusai. Some Rishonim and Acharanim hold, no, it's even Eina Shaloi. But if it's either Eina Shaloi or Eina B'shusai, then you're not a Bailim to be Mevat L'chometz. What are you making a declaration? As far as I'm concerned, I don't care what happens to this chometz. It's not your chometz. It's Eina Shaloi or Eina B'shusai. You're not the full Bailim on it. So it doesn't matter what you say. So that's what it says in this Gemara. Problem is, there's a Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, when the Mishnah speaks about somebody being Mekadosh and Isha, Bishove Kesef. You can be Mekadosh Bekesef or Bishove Kesef. You can give cash. He learned out Kicha Kicha, Mr. Ephron, says Kicha Chishisha Chadosha. When a person gets married, it's called Kicha. And by Avram Avinu purchasing in Parsha Chayi Sarah, the verb kicha appears there. So just like Avram Avinu purchased the Maris HaMachpelah, 400 shekel kesef, over la socher, he gave kish. So we learn a person can be Mekadosh and Isha by giving kish. But you can also be Mekadosh and Isha by giving shavah kesef. Shavah kesef is also kesef dami. Shavah kesef is kesef in Kol HaTorah Kula, with three exceptions to the rule. That's a Gemara in Bcheres. Pidya Masusheni needs Davke Kesef. You can't be Pidya Masusheni on Shavu Kesef. Machza Shekel, you have to give Davke Kesef. Many hold that that's a din de Raisa, not a din de Rabbanan. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that. And then the third din is clearly only a din de Rabbanan, that when you come to Yerushalayim, on Pesach Shavu Sukkos, you want to purchase Oilos Riyah, and Shalmi Chagigi, you have to purchase it with Kesef. That's only mid the Rabbanan. Rashi quotes a whole explanation from Yerushalmi, why they made such a din with the Rabbanan. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, when you get married, Kol HaTorah Kula, you give the girl a ring. Say, Harei Mekudesh Esli, that's Shavah Kesef. So Shavah Kesef is Kekesef. So the Mishnah says in the end of the second Perek in Kedushin, a man is Mekadosh and Isha with Isuri Hanoah, she's Zayna Mekadoshes. Why not? So the Rishonim give three different explanations. Some say because Isuri Hanoah Reina Shaloi. So it doesn't belong to you. You have to give your ring. If the ring doesn't belong to you, you give it to the Kala, the ring. She's not kind of the ring. It doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to her. So if you say that Isuri Hanoah Reina Shaloi, so it's understood. If you hold that it's shaloi beina b'shusa like the tzais, also understood. Because if something is shaloi beina b'shusa, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, based on the Mishnah, Maaseh Sheni. So this Mishnah is saying the same. If the man is mekadosh and isha with basar v'chalav d'oraisa or with chametz b'pesach, that's asa b'hanoah. So it's shaloi beina b'shusa. So you can't. It's not a full bialis. So you can't be machne. You can't transfer the ownership to the girl. So these two pshatim are reasonable. Some rishonim say mekadosh and isha with isuri hanoah. Ainu mekadosh is because it's ainu shaloi, or because it's ainu b'shusai. Rashi doesn't learn either pshat. Rashi always writes in a few different places. Whenever the Gemara talks about mekadosh with isuri hanoah, Rashi will always say because it's not shaveh pruta. Mekadosh with isuri hanoah because isuri hanoah is not shaveh. Why is it not shaveh pruta? The box of cookies, it sells for $2 in the grocery store. Why do you say it's not shaveh pruta? The answer is, the Nesivos has a yesoi that he has in several of his svarim. How do you establish shavius? So he says, the klal is kamahu shava limka bashuk. If you would try to sell it to someone else, let's say you have something, I have an item that has sentimental value to me. This little siddur that's falling to pieces was given to me by my great-grandfather on the day of my bar mitzvah, whatever. So it has sentimental value. If you would sell it in the store, you'll get less than a nickel for this little siddur because it's falling to pieces. So the fact that it has sentimental value to me, it's not called Shabbos. If someone's going to destroy it, he's not going to have to pay because of the sentimental value. He only has to pay kamahu shavalim kabashuk. If you would sell it, how much would you get? So if you have Isuri Hanoah, the din says you're not allowed to sell it. It's also if you sell it, that's a violation of Isuri Hanoah. So that's why Rashi writes, if you mekadosh and isha with Isuri Hanoah, zeinu mekudeshes, he doesn't say ein shaloi, he doesn't say ein b'shusai. He says because it's not shaveh pruta. So it's a pella. What does he do with this Gemara? Gemara says over here that the chametz mishei shalosa lamayla, because it's also banor, so it's shnei dvar meinim b'shusa shalod. It means either ain't a b'shusa literally, that's how the ksois learn, or that it's ain't a shalod, like the other Rishonim said. The reason why they said ain't a b'shusa, I don't know. What they say ain't a b'shusa, if it really means ain't a shalod, I don't know. The ksois is good, but the Gemara doesn't say that it's not shaveh pruta. You can violate by your Rabbi Matzah, even if there's no need that the chametz has to be shaveh pruta. It doesn't have to be shaveh pruta, but it has to be shaloi, or maybe shaloi b'shusai. So how come Rashi learns over there in the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Kedushin, if he mekadosh and isha, with the Isuri Hanoah zeinu mekudeshes, because it's not shaveh pruta, should have said like our Gemara, that it's zeinu shaloi reinu b'shusai. So apparently Rashi thinks that all Isuri Hanoah are shaloi and they are b'shusai. And what does it do with this Gemara? So the Achrayim explain. The Magen Ho'elef has this. The Magen Ho'elef is a commentary on the Nesivos. Nesivos HaMishpat is a commentary on Chosha Mishpat. The author of the Nesivos wrote a sefer on Hilchas Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim. It's a fantastic sefer. All of his farm are fantastic. Has a sefer in Yeridei also. Chavos Das, also fantastic. So he wrote a sefer, Mekor Chaim. Rabbi Kivegin corresponded. They lived in the same generation. They corresponded with each other about things in the Mekor Chaim. So there was, in a later generation, there was a big Talmid Chacham who wrote Charifus, Pilpul. He was known as Rabbi Leibish Charif. So he wrote Mogen Ho'elef, where he disagrees with a lot of details that the Nesivos has in the Mekor Chaim. So the Magen Ho'elef explains this, but others after him have picked it up as well. That Chometz, Mishei Shoso Lamayla, is different from the other Isuri Hanoah. If I have Orla Ukloi Hakerim, a Basa B'Cholim in the house, you're not allowed to leave it around the house. That's the Gemara in the end of the first Perek HaMisochem. The Sugi Rav Chanina is going to acquaint him. The Gemara is going to say, Mishum Mikshol, Mishum Takola. If you're going to leave tray for food in the refrigerator, the children may think that it's kosher and they may eat it. Even if all the children are married already, nobody there. So your wife might by mistake eat it. Or you may forget that it's treif. You have kosher and treif in the refrigerator. And the treif of food is for the goyish workers. You're going to give it to the super. It's not a smart idea. So the Gemara says there's a din midirabon, you're not mishum chashash takola. You may forget that it's treif and you may eat it. So you're not allowed to leave anything that's treif, even if it's muta bahano. You're not allowed to leave anything treif around the house. But leaving out the gzera derabon, mishum chashash takola. Is there a din that you're not allowed to have basam b'chol around the house? No, you can't. You're not allowed to eat it. It's also bachila and also bahano. Also b'chol of the rice. It's also bachila and also bahano. Or look like a kerem chametz b'pesach. Also bachila and also bahano. So also bachila and also bahano doesn't make it, according to the Rashi, that alone doesn't accomplish that it should be ein shaloi, or it doesn't even accomplish that it's ein b'shusay. When is the you say ein b'shusay shalodam? If it's chametz mishay shalos hanamai, that it's ton ibud min ha'olam. It's also bachila and also bahano. And you have to get rid of it immediately, as soon as possible. Tosis points out later, if you have chametz b'pesach, yo'ever al-bal yorah, by matzeh b'chol rega, every minute that goes by, it's not that he'll take care of it some other time. No, every minute that goes by, you violate bal yorah, by matzeh. So that's what, where else do you have that? You have it by Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has it in, la'yid b'giotcha me'uma min ha'cherem. The original pasuk goes on here, and idachas, when you burn, when a city in Eretz Yisrael were, rove of the people who live in the city violated Avodah Zarah, so you have to burn down the whole city. You give the death penalty to the people who worshipped Avodah Zarah. Those who didn't worship Avodah Zarah are not punished with the death penalty, but you burn their property as well. You burn all of their property. So the Torah says, "Layid bak biyotchem u'ma min acher." No one is allowed to get hanof from anything that belongs to the Irani Dachas, because it has a shaychus with Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara understands, if you have the Avodah Zarah itself, there's certainly going to be an Isa Liyid Bak Biyotcha Me'umim and Acherim. So it's also to get any Hanoah from Avodah Zarah, and you have to destroy it. Avodah Zarah's Tom Ibn Min Oilam immediately. It's not only Mishim Chashash Takola that you may, by mistake, get Hanoah from it. No, it's a Din Deraisa. You're not allowed to keep it in your possession. The Chomitz Mishay Shosa Lamayla in Avodah Zarah are the two unique Isuri Hanoah that have an Isa Lekaimo. Not allowed to keep it in your possession. So there, Rashi agrees. That's our Gemara. Ein b'shusa shalodam. Chometz and Avodah Zarah would be ein b'shusa shalodam, whatever that means. Either ein shalodam or ein b'shusa. But other Isuri Hanoah, Rashi, oh, that's not it. Other Isuri Hanoah. Basa b'chol of kloy, akerem, orlo. Other Isuri Hanoah would not be ein shalodam or ein b'shusa. Shalodam b'shusa. Just that it's not Shabbat Pruto. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Mem Hei. What's an example of Isuri Hanoah? So, Orlon Klai Kerem, we have once in a while, Basam B'chala, we have once in a while. This one we don't have is Manazer. Shor Haniskal. If the Shor was Haragas Ha'odam, so you have to have a Sanhedrin of 23, a Bezin has to make a Gmar Din Lamisa. After the Bezin makes a Gmar Din Lamisa, so even if it says in the Chumash, I'll show you Sokel, lo yochalas besorei. I'll show you Sokel, v'lo yochalas besorei. The Gemara says, I'll show you Sokel. If you give it skila, means you didn't give it shechita. You didn't shecht it. So what do you need? V'lo yochalas besorei. Since you're doing skila, and any adesh in a veil, and the veil asura b'achila. I know the veil is also b'achila. So what do you need? Pasuk, lo yochalas besorei. So lo yeyachel means that it's even also b'hanoah. Sure, and this color is also b'hanoah. So when is it also b'hanoah? From the time of the Gemara Dinan. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara Bava Kama and Daf Mem Hei has a brisa. Let's say the Bezdin is about to make a Gemara Din on my shore, that it's also, that it's a shore on this call, and they should give it skila. So if I magdish it, I see the way the Bezdin is going. I see what direction they're going. So if I magdish it, or if I sell it to someone else, higdisha mugdosh b'chora mochur. If I sell it to someone else, the sale is valid. If I magdish it, the hagdosha is chal. But Misha Nigmar Dino, if the Bezna already made the Gmar Din, then it's also Bahano. Misharsk Gmar Din an, it's also Bahano. So then it says, Igdisha in a Mugdosh, and Mechora in a Mocher. So the question is, if you Mekadosh and Isha with the Shoran Niskol, so Kiddusha Isha has to have a Shoah Pruta. That's Machlokes Bisham and Basil, the first Mishnah in Kiddushan. we pass on like Bezilo. How much is a Shavu Pruta? That's another discussion. What is the value of a Shavu Pruta? The Ramban in Hilchas Pleris discusses that, and that's where you find it in Yeridei, in the first page in Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. Say, Mishin, hey, how do you establish how much is a Shavu Pruta? So if you're Mekadosh and Isha with Isuri HaNos, Rashi says it's not Chal because you need Shavu Pruta. But in order to be Moicha something, in order to be Magdish something, there's no dinner has to have a minimum ownership, a minimum value of the Shavu Pruta. Let's say they sell little candies, five for a penny. And I'm going to give you a matana, one candy. That's 1/5 of a penny. Less, way less than a Shavu Pruta. Now a Shavu Pruta is way, used to be less than a penny, now it's more than a penny. Depends on the value of silver. So the Shavu Pruta fluctuate depending how much silver sells for. So the so what does it say if according to Rashi that Isirah no Ashalo and Arbishuso, the only thing is that if you Mikadosh and Isha, it's no good because Ein Shavu Pruta. So that's Nicha by Kiddush Isha, because that's the first Mishnah in Kiddush, and basically will say Nida Shavu Pruta by Shavu Kesef. But by Mechoro or Higdisho, there's no din that Higdish is not Chal. Apochus Mishavu Pruta, there's no din that a Mechira is not Chal on Apochus Mishavu Pruta. It's Chal. So why does it say Mechora and Mechora Higdish and Mugdosh? That's a problem according to Rashi. According to the other Vishayim is Nicha, because after the Gemara Din, it's also Ma'anoa. After it's also Ma'anoa, so it's either Enish Olayim and Bishusai. So in order to be Magdish something, you need Ish Ki Yagdish is Beso. My base is shalom, I've called shalom. My base is bishusa, I've called bishusa. In each shalom, bishusa. So we have no, I read not shalom, or not bishusa. But if you hold like Rashi, that all these are no, only chametz and avodah zarah, aton ibid ben olam immediately. You have to get rid of it right away. So it's considered ein shalom. You can't have bailos or it's ein shalom, ein bishusa. But all the other are no, the whole problem only is that it doesn't have a shavar puta. So how does he understand that Bryce and Baba Kama Daf Memhei that Usher on this galacha mishenig madinai mechore ene moche gdish ene mugdush? Why not? It shaloi b'shusa just as nav shavu puta. So what? That's a kashan Rashi. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested there is a shitas Rabbeinu Tam. It's discussed in all places. Maseches Zvachim. There's a perek hataruvis. The Rishonim call it Perek HaTaruvis. The first word in the Perek is not HaTaruvis. The first word is Kol HaZvach M'shen Isarvu. I remember the boys and brothers Beis Medrash were learning Yerideya. So the Shach quotes Perek HaTaruvis and he quotes a Daf. So they didn't know what Mesichta it's in. So the Yekis, everything is orderly. So in the first volume of Mishnayis, Brachis, when someone has Yartzeit, so there's a meaning that you learn different Prokem Mishnayis that start with the letter of the one who passed away, like Rav Soloveitchik, when he had Yartzeit. So he would try to learn Prokem that begin Moshe Ben Chaim. His father's name was Moshe Ben Chaim Soloveitchik. So he would learn all day long. He would learn, he would daven Faran Omid, Shachris, he had Yartzeit, and then he wouldn't eat breakfast, he was fasting. He told the boys, when they're ready, at 9:30, he's going to start learning Mishnayis. He never learned Mishnayis, only on the Yartzeit. Then when his mother passed away many years later, he also learned Mishnayis on the mother's Yartzeit. So he would never finish. He would learn from the morning. He wouldn't be mafsik till it was time to daven mincha. There was no hafsok. He was learning Mishnah the whole day long. And he never finished Moshe Ben Chaim. He would discuss every Mishnah so much that it took up the whole day. He never learned so much. So the... remember, the boys didn't know where Perek HaTaruvis is. So they looked in the first volume of Mishnayis, where they have all the names of the Prokim alphabetically arranged, depending what letter the Perek begins with. So they looked on the Hay for Hata Arubis. It's not listed on the Hay because that's what Kol HaZvachim Shenesarvu. The Rishayni call it Perek Hata Arubis. The Shah calls it Perek Hata Arubis. But that's not usually the first word is what we call the name of the Perek, but not over there. Yeah. So there's a Rabbeinu Tam on the first daf in Perek HaTaruvis in Zvachim, and it's in Bava Kama also a little bit. The Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion Shohaniskal is Muta B'Hanoa Mechaim. It only becomes Asabanoa after it's dead, either after you give it Skila or after you shecht it. But if Bez makes a gemar din, it's still mutamano, because it says lo yochales bisorei. It's only osa b'hano when it's in the state of basar. Calls man it's alive, it's not called basar. After it's dead, then it's called basar. That's Rabbi Natam Shita. So what does Rabbi Natam do with this gemar? It's a gemar in Baba Kama Daf Mem Hei. It says lacha gemar din mechare ena mocha hegedish ena mugdash. Why? According to Rabbi Natam, it's still mutamano. Shanis kamechaim is mutamano. Machlokes the Rabbi Natam and all the Rishonim on the level of the Raisa. When does the Shor HaNiska become Asamano? So isn't it against the Gemara? So the Tosis, and I remember when I entered Rav Soloveitchik Shir, he learned Sanhedrin 2 years. And he covered the whole 90 blot, the whole Mesichta. Halacha ends at Daf Tzadik. And then the last perik is all Agarata, Chelik. He didn't do the Agarata. But the last three blot and Chelik is about Irani Dacha. So he covered that. So in 2 years, he covered the whole Masichta, all the halach. So when we learn Daf Pei, there's a Tesis on Daf Pei, goes over from Amar Aleph to Amar Beis, where they quote this Rabbi Natam, who says, Sho'aniskal is muta b'hanoa mechaim. So what does he do with that Gemara? Baba Kama says, he says, no, the Gemara means a different thing. It doesn't mean the sale is not valid or the hegdish is not chal. B'chore eina mocha means you haven't, if you sell the Sho'aniskal after Gemara Din, the sale is valid and the hegdish is valid. Mechorei Remocha just means you haven't accomplished anything. The Bezin of 23 is going to take the Shor and give it the death penalty anyway. If you sold it before Gemar Din, then Mechorei Remocha, and he's off the hook. You don't. The Bezin can't make a Gemar Din Lamisa because you switched the ownership of the Shor. Or if you magdish the Shor before the Gemar Din, the Gemar there goes with the position that if you magdish it, the Bezin can't make a Gemar Din Lamisa. But after the Gemar Din, Mechorei and Mocha, Hegdish and Mugdish does mean the Hegdish is not Chal. Hegdish is Chal and the Mecher is Chal. Just the Mecher will not save the life of the animal. The Bezin is going to give the Behemoth the death penalty anyway. So Rav Soloveitchik said, just like the Rabbi Natam reinterpreted the Gemara, Mechorei and Mocha, Hegdish and Mugdish does mean that the Hegdish is not Chal. Maybe Rashi will also say like that, that even though he holds that it is also Bahanoah, but Rashi holds only Sirei Hanoah except for Chometz and Avodah Zarah, or Shaloya Bishusa, just that it's not Shavei Pruta. So why does it say, Mechorei after Shor Niskalach HaGemar Din, Mechorei in a Mocha, the sale is not valid? Maybe Rashi will understand the Gemara like the Rabbi Natam understood it, that the sale is Chal, the Hegdish is Chal, but that you didn't save the life of the animal. The animal's going to get the death penalty anyway. So these are important Gemaras about Eina Shaloya and Eina Bishusa. There is a discussion in the Chok Yankif, and you look, we're learning Psachim this year. So on the big Shulchan Aruch, you have, on the inside, you have like Rashi, on the outside, you have Taisus. On the big Shulchan Aruch, the inside is the Taz, and the outside is the Magen Avraham. Then on Hilchas Pesach, on the bottom of the page, you have the Chok Yankif, who was later Posi. So the Chok Yankif has a discussion, and the Nadi Yehuda has also a discussion on the same topic. What's the din? The parents are not observant, and they don't sell the chametz, and they don't destroy the chametz. They're violating Baal Yerah Baimatz. So they have real chametz, real bread in their rishus, and they die in the middle of Pesach, and the children yarshin, the children are observant. So now the children yarshin the chametz, and they'll be in violation of Baal Yerah Baimatz. So do you say that now the chametz, the middle of Pesach, now the chametz goes birusha to the children, and they have to dispose of it immediately? Or maybe you can say that it doesn't go birusha. So if you say Yisrei Hano are not shaloi, according to those Rishonim who hold that Yisrei Hano are not shaloi at all, so if something doesn't belong to me, it can't go birusha to the children. Okay, that's good. Hasan hakasu kilehen b'shusa. So the Torah says, I violate by Rabbi Matzah. So they have a loshen. There's a kinyan mamon and a kinyan iser. Where they get these loshenes? When you have an Eved Kenayni, so you own an Eved Kenayni, if you, a person, a Nochri, sells himself to me as an Eved Kenayni, or someone owns it, a Nochri owns an Eved Kenayni, he sells him to, somehow, someone had the right to sell a person, so I'd buy an Eved Kenayni. Today, Lincoln freed the slaves, so you don't have any Eved Kenayni, but before Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, there was an institution of slavery, even in this blessed country. So when you have an Eved Kenayni, you own the Eved. Like if I own a behemoth, so I have a right to work the behemoth. So if I have an Eved Kenayni, I have the right to make him work for me because I have a kinyan mamon. not only do I have a kinyan mamon, we have also a kinyan isa. What do you mean a kinyan isa? That the eved kana cannot become emuna on a korban pesach without authorization of the yodon. Let's say the eved kana has a good friend, and the good friend wants to be memana him on his korban pesach. So Mara says he can't without authorization from the yodon. He can't. That's the kinyan isa. What else is the relevance of the kinyan isa? So the eved kana, if he's an eved kana shal koyin, he's eichel b'truma. If it's an Eved Ivri Shal Kohen, it's an Eichel B'Truma. Eved Kenani Shal Kohen is Eichel B'Truma. It's also a Kenyan Issa. Okay. So there's a Kenyan Mammon and there's a Kenyan Issa. So here, the Chok Yankif with the Nadi Bihuda, with the whole discussion that they have is, they say, Shnei Dvar Menem B'Shusa Shal Odom. A lot of Rishonim learn means that Zaynu Shaloi. The Chometz, Mishay Shal Salamayla, is also Manos. So it's Zaynu Shaloi. Zaynu Shaloi, so you don't buy Lei, buy Yoi, buy Matzei. Asan hakasu kilehem b'shusa, but he has a kinyan isa. So they came up with a chiddush that when the Torah says that when a person dies, his property goes birusha to the children, that's only if the one who died, the rich uncle who died, had a kinyan mamon on the property. But if he only had a kinyan isa on the property, that doesn't go birusha. Where'd they get this from? So they got it from a gemara in Gittin. The gemara talks about hamafker avdoi. There's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. In the middle of Gittin and the Mem, is around Mem Gimel or so, Mem Dalit. I have an Eved Kenani, Mafka the Eved. So Hefker is Chal, there's an institution of Hefker. Hefker is Chal on Kenyan Mamon. Hefker is not Chal on a Kenyan Issa. So one opinion in the Gemara is Hamafka Avdai, if Hamafka the Eved Kenani, even though the Hefker can't be Chal on the Kenyan Issa, but the Kenyan Issa always tags along with the Kenyan Mamon. So once you mafka the Kenyan Mammon is paka. What if I own an Eved Kenani? I sell Eved Kenani to somebody else. So the Kenyanim that you make are only chal on the Kenyan Mammon. How does the Kenyan Issa go over? Let's say he's a Kohen. Once I sell Eved Kenani to the Kohen, he's allowed to eat truma. Calls man the Eved Kenani belongs to me. I'm not a Kohen. He's not allowed to eat truma. So how did he acquire a Kenyan Issa? The answer is whoever has the Kenyan Mammon has the Kenyan Issa. Okay, it goes along. There are no Maisi Kenyanim. To sell a Kenyan Issa. They are Maisa Kenyanim to sell Kenyan Mammon. So even though, so there's one opinion, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and the Gemara. So there's one opinion in the Amoraim that Hamafker Avda Yotel Lecheris, Veinu Tzorek Get Shichur. The Eved Kenani doesn't need a Get Shichur to cancel the Kenyan Issa because once no Kenyan Mammon, Kenyan Issa disappears automatically. We don't pass like that. We pass on Hamafker Avda Yotel Lecheris. I can't make him work for me anymore. Because I no longer own the Kenyan Mammon, so I have no right to force him to work for me. However, in order to cancel the Kenyan Iser, I still have a Kenyan Iser on the Eved. So what if I was Mafka Avdi, and then I die? So does the Kenyan Iser go Birusha? So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara in Gitna, that daf mem gimel. So the beginning of the sugya, the question is this really the Maskana? So the Nadi Behuda with the Chok Yankov, are all picking up from the beginning of this sugi. So the Gemara says, "Amafker avdai umeis oiso eved ein lo takana." The eved is stuck for the rest of his life because the hefker is only chal on the kinyan mamon. The kinyan isa is not poka, and kinyan isa doesn't go birusha to the children. So the children cannot write ishtar shichur. So the eved remains with the kinyan isa for the rest of his life. So he's also the Yisraelis. He can't marry a Yisraelis. Not mechuyev to work for anybody, because the Odon was mafkehim. A mafker av the hefker is chala in the kinyan mamon. Hefker is not chala in the kinyan isa, and kinyan isa doesn't go birusha. Shoyin so also eved ein lo takana. We don't pass like that. So that's a question the maskana that we don't pass like that. Is the whole thing canceled or not? So the Nadi Behuda, the Chayin Ka'enkev, are assuming that this part of the story is true, that kinyan isa doesn't go birusha. So they say if you learn pshat, shnei dvar meinim b'shusa shal odom. What about chometz mishay shal samayla? That's einu shaloi, or that's einu b'shusa? So a lot of rishonim hold that it's einu shalom. In the dorm, the Ran in the dorm has. There's a sefer Marcheshes. Marcheshes is a shalas atchuvas by Rab Henoch Egish. Henoch Egish was together with Rab Chaim Oizer in Vilna. He was older than Rab Chaim Oizer, and he outlived him. He delivered a hesped when Rab Chaim Oizer passed away in 1941, I think it was. So he was from the old school. He writes in the introduction, he learned by the Beis HaLevi, this He came up with this new Derech HaLimud and Valojan Yeshiva, but the Marcheshes writes, he's from the old school. He doesn't analyze everything to break it down to its component parts, like chemistry. They break down all to a compound, to all the different parts. So, but he has a lot of very beautiful tshuvas. Has a little bit like the new star. So he has a whole kuntras about this topic based on the Ran and the Dorim. It's different opinions. What the Surah Hanar, Reina Shaloi, Reina Bishusai. So if you hold the Chomitz, B'Pesach, Reina Shaloi, Asan Al-Kosukilei, Bishusai, the parents who are not Shamei Mitzvahs, they died. So they only have Erev Pesach, Hefta Chantzai, they only have a Kinyan Iser on the Chomitz. And the Gemara in Gittin starts off by saying that if Yehuda Nechai can't give a sum like that, that the Kinyan Iser doesn't go Birush. So the children don't have to rush to burn the Chomitz. It'll be Chomitz Shavar all about Pesach. They're going to have to destroy it after Pesach. It's going to be Asabah. No, but they're not in violation by Yorah by Matzah. Because since the parents didn't have a Kinyan Maman on it, so it doesn't go Birush. But if you hold like the other Shita, that's like the Tzais, the Eina B'shusa Shalom does mean that it's Eina Shaloi. It is Shaloi, but it's Eina B'shusa. So then it does go Birush. Let's say someone stole my car and then I die. So the car goes birusha to my children, even though it's Eina B'shusi. But if something is Eina B'shusi, I don't have the koyach like a bailam. I can't be magdashir, I can't be mafkarit, I can't sell it, I can't give it the matana, I can't be paid in my sesheni, and so on. If it's chomes, I can't be mevatlet. If it's Eina B'shusi, because you're not a full bailam, but it does go birusha. If something is stolen, that's gemaras like that. Someone stole my behemoth, then I die. So the behemoth goes birusha to the children. So that's what they discuss. If you all like the Rishayim, the Eina B'shusa is literally Eina B'shusa, but it is Shaloi. Then it goes birusha to the children. The children are Shami Mitzvahs. They have to go destroy the Chametz right away because now the Chametz belongs to them. They're in violation of Bal Yerubai Matzah. They have to rush to destroy it. But if you hold that Eina B'shusa means Eina Shaloi, so the parents violated Bal Yerubai because they have a Kinyan Issa. So that's where the Chai Kankim and the Nadi B'yuda assume that Kinyan Issa doesn't go birusha. Yeah. Here the Gemara has a statement. Hamakadosh Shesarishim. The Chita Kur Denaisa. Mishay Shal Salamayla Enim Kadosh. What's Chita Kur Denaisa? So Rashi on the top of Zion Amid Aleph and Rabbi Natam on the bottom of Ava Mabes say Chita Kur Denaisa is only Chometz Midirabon because Mahori Ararot. Apparently, when the Teva landed, Noach's Teva, Parshas Noach. When Neach's Teva landed on Hori Ararot, so the Tag Monklands writes Kur Denaisa. Okay. So the chitim that grow in Hori Ararot are chitim koshim, and it can't really complete the chimutz process. Chimutz is a process. We saw the Mishnah later on Seor with his machlegs Abuda and Rameir. When is Seor? When is it the beginning of the chimutz process? When is it the gemar of the chimutz process? So you're not allowed to eat seor. Chumash talks about seor. So we know that's the yeast that you left over. The microorganisms multiply, eat up all of the dough. They keep on reproducing until you have no dough left. The microorganisms ate up all the dough. They just reproduced each other. So now it's just purely microorganisms. So that's seor in the chumash. So seor, even though all of the chumash was eaten up already by the microorganisms, that's halacha, since it started off as chametz, and it can still be used lechametz isas acheros, so that it still retains the din of chametz. That's the sor in the chumash. But when the Mishnah talks about seor, shin yud alav avresh, seor, that's a different thing. It means that chametz is a process. So when the process begins, that's called seor. When the process ends, then it's called chametz dagen gomer. So if you eat chametz where the process began, that's a machlokes abuda Rav Meir, whether that is an isa deraisa and isa derabanan. There's no kares. The kares is only if you ate it after the gemar hachimutz process. But if the process began, that's a machlokes hatanoim. So that machlokes hatanoim, apparently the Rishonim seem to hold, that's only if I mixed flour with water and the process of chametz began, and if I leave it alone, I don't do anything. I don't bake it quickly. I don't destroy it. I don't burn it. I'm not mevatle it. So it'll continue. The chemical process of chametz will continue, and it'll develop to become chametz dagen gomer. What if I have let's say me peres he machmitzim. So Rashi's opinion is me peres he machlitzim can never become chametz dog and gomer. The chemical process will never be completed, but it's memahir lahachmitz. It'll become chametz. The beginning of the process will occur even faster, even less than 18 minutes. The Gemara says less than 18 minutes, nothing happens. More than 18 minutes, you have to think about it. It takes a long time till flour turns into chametz. It doesn't take 18 minutes. It takes much more. Unless it's warmer in the room, so then the heat will be memayla hachmitz, okay? So Rashi learns on the Gemara, may peris hay machmitz, and it'll never become chametz dog and gomer, but the tchilas hachimitz process will begin. So that kind of chametz nuksha, the tchilas hachimitz process began, but it can never become nigma. That's only chametz nuksha derabbanan. Well, let's say you have chitim koshim from hori ararat. Means you grind it up, you make flour, you mix it with water, and it'll never. That's what they seem to assume here. It'll never turn into chametz dog and gomer because it's chametz kosher. It's a chitim kosher. It's never going to turn. So that's not totally in the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, where the seir is an isa derais and isa derabbanan. If you started the chimutz process by mixing flour with water, and if you let it sit longer, the chimutz, the chemical process would continue and become chametz dog and gomer. Then if you ate it at the beginning of the process, that's the machlekes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and isa derais and derabbanan. But if you have a mixture, either may peris or chitim koshim, it can never complete the process. And then the whole isatid is only the rabbon. So Rashi learns on this gemara, it's hari ararot chitim mekadosh mishesh olsalamayla, means bishor shishis, an hour before chatzah, it's only awesome in the rabbon. And it's chit according to Isa, it's only chametz nukshis. So it's a trade the rabbon. It's only awesome anua based on a double the rabbon. And still she's ain't a mukadoshis. Just like if you mekadosh an isha with isuri hanor deraisa, ain't a mukadeshes. If mekadosh with isuri hanor derabbanan, there's also ain't a mukadeshes. And even if it's a trade derabbanan, so the rabbi in the time and the bottom teisus on vav on the base is chaylik on Rashi misheshos on the mailo. He doesn't fully spell out the not teisus on the bottom of the page below the last line in Rashi. They quote the teisus in chulin dav dalid where they spell out the rabbi in the time more. If you have a double derabbanan, they think that then she will be mekudeshes ve'ena mekudeshes. The Asafi Kedushin. If you have, we know in Hilchot Shabbos, if you have, Amir and Nochri is Osir, both the Eska Nochri to do an Isa deraisa and Isa derabbanan. But if you have a Shvuz de Shvuz, Ayeska Nochri to do an Isa derabbanan, so Shvuz de Shvuz is a double derabbanan, that's a lower level Isa. So we follow that opinion in Tesis that a Shvuz de Shvuz is always mutum and maka mitzvah. So that's what the Rabbi Natan holds over here. Anisa de Rabbanan and Mikadosh Anisha with Isra Hano de Rabbanan is Taka Enim Mukadeshes. But if you Mikadosh Anisha with Anisa de Rabbanan, that's only Asabano because of a double de Rabbanan, shows the Rabbanan, the Chametz de Rabbanan, Chit Kordanaisa, Chitim Koshes, and it's only Bisho Shishis. It's not Eftah Hatzah, it's only Bisho Shishis. So then it'll be a Shvuz de Shvuz, a double de Rabbanan. So double the Rabbanan is not as strong as a Chad the Rabbanan. That's what I've been in Tamshita. And Rashi holds not so. The two opinions are quoted in Ebenezer. I don't know if the Shaila ever comes up so often that someone was Mekadosh and Isha with a double the Rabbanan. Okay. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Baluita. The Ramah quotes the Baluita's opinion. That Amir Lenachri is mutab makam mitzvah, even Amir Lenachri and Adaraisa is mutab makam mitzvah. So the Ramah recommends, Ramah recommends we should not follow the Balu Iter, because that's not the generally accepted opinion. Tosis only is Mekel, is Machlekes, and Tosis, what about Shvuz the Shvuz? Amir Liakaman Adarabonan, where there's mutab makam mitzvah, so that were Mekel. But Amir Liakamana there, I said that we're not Mekel. Where did the Baluita get it from? He got it from the Gemara in Gittin, Davches. The Gemara says, there's a mitzvah to buy up Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs, from the non-Jews. That's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says it's such an important mitzvah to buy up Eretz Yisrael should be under Jewish control. You're even allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to write the document on Shabbos. The Gemara said, what are you, crazy? Zionism is the biggest mitzvah, is Decha Kala Tarakula. Kosim Olavona, Philip Shabbos, you're permitted to write the document on Shabbos. That's ridiculous. Mor says, no, Aide Nochri. Means even though Amir Leakum is a Shvuz Derabanan, but Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Hitiru, there you're allowed to. And that's a big machlokes in Achrayim. It was relevant under the Russians, under the communists. There were years that if you wanted to leave Russia to go there, it's Israel, you had to go to the special office where they sell tickets. Everything was controlled by the government, the travel agency. So the travel agency to go to Eretz Yisrael was only open on Shabbos. You had to come on Shabbos. So the Shaila was, can I go with a Nochri? The Nochri will carry the pen, I'll carry the money, and he'll pay cash, and he'll fill out all the documents for me. They say, Amir Eliakam is mutam amakam mitzvah yeshiva be Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Yeshiva Eretz, to buy Eretz Yisrael up from the Arabs, to buy it away from the Goyim, that's called Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes a lashon in the end of Masechet Shabbos, and Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah derabim. So maybe Amir Eliakim is mutam amok a mitzvah derabim. But Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, it was already established in 1948. They have the country. Not that you're getting the goy to be Michal Shabbos to buy up the land. You personally want to live in Eretz Yisrael. It was mutam anyway, because that's what the Chavetz Chaim used to say, and others, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Baron Kotel, they all said, to live under the communists, Jewish people, to live under the communists, is considered a suffix, sakonas nefoshes. And if the only way to save your life, to get away from the communists, is to be Michal Shabbos, it's mutter to be Michal Shabbos, to leave living under the communists, because that's a suffix, sakonas nefoshes. So it was mutter anyway. But mitzad, the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, that was a big machloikas in the earlier generations, whether only mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael to buy up from the Arabs, or even mishum Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, because it's not the same. Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah derab. Yishev Eretz Yisrael is my mitzvah. I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Sunday I'll try to continue Chazara. I think regular time, 11:30. We'll try to do that. I may be giving this year from with Mia, because my son so far is scheduling to make a bris. My son, who's a rabbi in Woodmere, has four boys now. He has five boys. His wife just had baby number.